Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, God has blessed our church in tremendous ways by sending you wonderful people and also other wonderful people maybe you don't know very well, but God has sent to us Ron and Derry Tannerillo. I hope I'm saying
that's
that
fine,
right. Correct
fine,
me.
And
they are pastors from New Hampshire. They moved down here. They live right down the road from the church, and they bring a wealth of wisdom and experience of ministry to this church. And I don't want to take up a lot of time by giving a long introduction, but I want you to welcome today Derry Tannerillo. I want her to come up and share and what God's put on her heart for Valentine's Day for all of us. So would you welcome Derry? God bless you, Derry.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Hearts and Flowers Day to everybody. It's good to be together today. You know, Pastor... last week, he said, we need to confront our demons. Do you remember him saying that? He did. And today, I hope we're going to do just exactly that. He's also been teaching us from the Song of Solomon, the Book of Love, right? And I'm going to carry on that love theme today, but I'm not going to be teaching from the Book of Solomon. I'm going to try to attack that love thing from a little different perspective. And I think that's very appropriate since today's Hearts and Flowers Day. And I'm not going to go into the whole history of that, but it doesn't matter who you are or if you're with someone, this message is for you. But if you are with someone and you're thinking, oh, I don't care about this Hearts and Flowers thing, I haven't thought of them as my sweetheart for a while, then I hope that by the time you leave here, God has changed your perspective 100%. Okay? And we all have those moments, so don't feel bad. Okay. Let's pray. Ah, Father, this is an important subject. In fact, our very eternal future rests on it. And last week, our pastor made the comment that you can resist love, but can you receive it? And Lord Jesus, you did everything for us. And I pray that today, you will bring that healing into our lives. You will give us the courage to address whatever it is we need to address so that we can be made whole and that love can be supreme, reign supreme in our homes, in our own lives, in our church, and in our community. And we just, Father, we invite you here. Lord Jesus, we invite you here. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. And I just pray that you'll work to the very depths of each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Melissa was sharing her story this morning, it made me just stop and think. We've each come in here, and we've got a past. And some of that past is good, and some of it is not so good. I call that baggage. And if we don't let go of it, and we carry that baggage around for a while, it's just garbage. And you know what? Garbage stinketh. It just stinketh. And we come into a room and we think nobody knows, but we stink. So I'm inviting you today to take your baggage and just put it under your chair. And when you leave, leave it there. But that's your choice. You've got a choice in this. So today we hope we're going to be confronting the demons. And if we haven't learned how to forgive in our life, we're under bondage. We're under bondage. And the Lord tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now that's bondage. But he also says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so we're loosed. So do we want to carry all of that around and be in bondage, or do we want Jesus to loose us? And today, I'm just encouraging all of us to walk away free. And my profession was a healthcare chaplain. years of experience in that. And of course, when you deal in the healthcare system, a lot of things happen. And one thing I learned is that people are there mainly because they haven't dealt with their forgiveness issues. Like 90% of disease is from unforgiveness issues. We carry around criticism, we carry around resentment, we carry around judgmental attitudes, we carry around anger, we carry all this stuff inside of us, and it just breaks down our life forces. It sets us up for disease, it depletes our system. So 95% of the things we go through is because we haven't been able to deal with forgiveness issues. I also found an interesting thing in ministering to people at the hospital. Number one, if they're near death, but hanging on for dear life, and nobody knows why, if they deal with their forgiveness issues, they'll die faster. I've also found that if people deal with their forgiveness issues, they get well faster. I mean, I could tell you a lot of stories about that, but I want to tell you first of all about the dying. I was called in the afternoon by the nursing station. They said, "Oh, Derry, could you please go over to room such and such? We don't know why this woman is still alive. Like 5 days ago, she should have died. Medically speaking, we have no idea what's going on with her. Could you go in and see if you can do anything?" And I said, "Well, sure." And they knew me as a praying woman. They know I pray about everything. But then she says, "By the way, she's unconscious." I said, "Well, thanks a lot. You know, that's great." So I start praying. I said, "You know, Lord, if there's something that you want to do with her, you're going to have to wake her up the minute I walk in that room." And he did. I walked into the room. Her eyes popped open. I went over and talked to her. And I found out that she'd been estranged from her daughter for over 5 years. In fact, she didn't even know where her daughter was. Well, I started praying real hard. The Lord helped me find her daughter in Hawaii. Got her on the phone. They reconciled, and that woman died within the hour. You know, people know. They know, and they hang on. They hang on, just hoping that they will be able to make things right. Forgiveness isn't about understanding or agreeing. It's about healing. It's about wholeness. It's about redeeming. It's about being loosed from the bondage the enemy has been keeping us in. He wants to keep, you know, it breaks down our relationship with the Lord. And what does the Father say? He says, "If you don't forgive, I won't forgive you." Now, let me just ask you a straight question. Are you going to let some jerk keep you out of heaven? I mean, it's that simple. I mean, is it worth it? It really is not. When you get down, you look at it, the Lord shows us a whole lot of mercy. We are all broken people. We all are a mess. We've got our good stuff too, but we're a mess. And you know what? If God's going to show us grace, don't we need to show each other grace? I mean, when somebody does something that steps on our toe or hurts our feelings or makes us become offensive, isn't it time that we say, "Oh God, mercy"? In fact, when we do things God's way, do you know we won't even carry offenses? We won't even get ruffled. God always has the right way to take care of things. He's got the answer. He tells us exactly what to do so this isn't an issue. And he tells us in Luke 6, 26 and 27. He tells us we're supposed to pray for those that offend us and bless those that persecute us. So how do you pray? We know how to pray for people, but how in the world do you bless them? They've stepped on my toes, they've hurt me, they've ruined my reputation, they've destroyed my life. I can't do. What do you do? Well, I didn't know. 5 hours after I learned that lesson, I was in the car trying to deal with this, think it through. How do I apply this to my life, Lord? I mean, if you guys knew what my life had been like, you'd say, "This woman deserves to go around filled with anger and resentment." But what for? I have a choice. I have a choice. And I found this. I came home after this long presentation of Luke that I'm just telling you about. My young son had moved back in temporarily. When I left, everything was fine. I come back, and he's like, nah, rah, 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 the minute I come in. Now, 5 hours, I've tried to figure out how I'm going to put this into practice in my life. I want to be like Jesus. And the minute he does that, I think to myself, well, who does he think he is? You know, he's moved back into this house, and it's my sanctuary. I've got suitcases in hand, and I'm thinking this as I'm going to my room. And I'm thinking, well, the nerve, what is his problem anyway? Lord, bless my son. I went up to my office, and I said, Father, everything that I felt like he had done negative, I prayed a blessing over it. Father, I just pray that you will bless my son with peace. Bless him with respect for his parents. Bless him with understanding. Bless him with unconditional love. Bless him with a desire to talk this through. Bless him, Father, with whatever's hurting him. I didn't have an idea what the problem was. A few minutes later, up the stairs he came to the office. And I just stood there. I'd done it God's way. I already blessed him. So it was like water off a duck's back. I said something soft and sweet, and he went, hum, out the door, but it was over. You know, when we do things God's way, it always comes out. And it works for our benefit, because then we're not going around carrying all this garbage. We're not going around feeling broken. We're not going around waiting if we're going to run into that person again, how we're going to handle it or get even. No, let God get even. You know, God will vindicate us. God will take care of it. Don't deal with forgiveness and be in bondage. Don't carry around bitterness and resentment and anger and all this stuff. We went to one of our children's homes just before we came down from New Hampshire, used their guest bathroom. They'd moved into a new place. They had this plaque in their house that said, always pray to have eyes that see the best in people, a heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgets the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? You know, people that live that way can't have forgiveness issues. Or at least, if that's their objective, you know, they're learning the importance of how to deal with others, how to talk to others, how to deal with life. But forgiveness isn't an option, and we think it is. We think we can carry on, hold on to those grudges. And it's especially hard in a family situation, isn't it? When our spouse knows how to push our button, when our kids know how to push our button. But God says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. Now that, there's no option there. There's simply no option. If we want to be in heaven, we got to do it God's way. We can't make our own rules, folks. You know, sometimes some will come in and whatever it is they've done to us, and we think, what's their problem? I haven't done anything wrong. Just kind of like with me, you know, when I came home with my son, what's his issue? But if we retaliate, even in a word, in a tone, in an action, we're wrong. So, if we're 1% wrong, even only 1%, that's our 100%. And we have to own it. We have to own it. Whatever they do with their part, that's their business with God. But God wants us to own our part. That means that we need to apologize. We need to ask for forgiveness for that 1%. And sometimes that's the very thing that's going to open it up. It's going to bring reconciliation. It's going to bring healing. It's going to restore the relationship. So I don't want the restored relationship. Okay, fine. If someone has done that wrong to you, if they've abused you in any way, you need to forgive them. You need to ask for forgiveness for your contribution. But you don't need to let them do this again. They have to earn trust if they are truly repentant. But that doesn't mean you can't forgive. God will deal with it. A lot of this is difficult for people that are grieving. And there are many of you out there that are. Because you think to yourself, oh, you know, I just wish I had done this before they died. If I'd only acted this way. If. And so you go around and you beat yourself up and you carry all this guilt, you carry all this shame, and you don't forgive yourself. You know what? There is nothing, not one word in the Bible that says forgive yourself. That is a contemporary term. The bottom line is, Jesus is the forgiver. And if you don't accept Jesus' forgiveness, what you're really saying is, oh, well, Father, I know you let Jesus sacrifice for me. Jesus, I know you suffered and died, but even though you went through all of that, that's not enough to carry my sins. It won't cover mine. And you know what? You're putting yourself as God above God. I mean, that's just that simple. You're saying you're not a big enough God. I am bigger. And you're not. We're not. You know, another thing that isn't scriptural, have you forgiven God? There's nothing in the Bible that says anything about forgiving God. The bottom line is, when things don't go right in our life, when things go different than what we would hope, when we have to incur losses, or if our life just crumbles and falls apart, if our kids walk out the door and make choices that break our heart, if life isn't what we wish it was, we sometimes will say, God, why did you let that happen? And we don't say it, but we may think, you know, if I was in charge, I never would have let that happen. But God, if you only, we're going to tell God how to do it. We forget that he is Lord. We forget that he wants every person to be saved, every person, and that he'll do whatever he needs to do for that person to be saved. And we may not understand it. We may even have to be part of the plan for him to get to that person. But he may take someone when we're not ready to let go of them. But scripture actually says he will take the righteous to save them from the evil ahead. He takes them when they're ready. But we want him back in our life. We miss him. We love him. I get it. Believe me, I get it. But he is Lord. He's Lord. And instead of carrying these feelings of resentment and lack of trust around in our hearts towards Jesus, towards our God in heaven, we have to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know, sometimes in my life, of all the stuff I've been through, I'll get a little dramatic here for a minute. Things have happened to me, and it's almost like I have to draw this line, an imaginary line. And on this side, I can go, why did you let that happen? And I can just air all my feelings because my Lord's shoulders are broad enough. He can take my anger and he can take my questions. But then I step over on this side of the line and I say, Father, I know you love me. I know that you have taken care of me. You've provided this. You've done that. But I don't understand all these things. I don't understand why this guy did this to me or whatever it is. I don't understand why you took this person. But I know one thing. I'm not going to let that keep me out of your kingdom. I'm going to forgive. And one day I'm going to look you in the eye and I'll ask you all these tough questions. And I know your answer will be enough. Folks, sometimes we just carry things around with us. I had a call 10:30 one night. Should have already left my office. In fact, I had my keys in my hand and I just looked at the phone and I didn't want to answer it, but I did. And the nurse says, oh, thank God you're here. She says, please, can you come up to a room such and such? She says, we've got a man up here. He's supposed to be here for about 4 days. He came in with a heart condition. She says, death is not imminent, but he is just continually sobbing. We don't know what to do with him. Can you please come talk to him? So I went up to the room, praying all the way down the hall, you know, praying as I walked in the door. And as I walked in the door, he shot up in bed and he said, have you ever been in a war? Whoa. Yeah, whoa is right. I took my time walking over to the chair. Yeah. Praying, God, what do I say? How do I handle this? Pulled my chair up next to the bed, reached out my hand and took his. He white-knuckled me, and he didn't stop white-knuckling me. And God gave me these words. I said, you know, sometimes I think every day of life can be like a war. It totally broke him down. He began to sob again, and he told me he'd been in the Korean War. He said, I killed a young man. He said, and I don't know why I didn't just take his gun away. And he says, that was over, I think then, some 50 years ago. And he said, ever since then, every night I have had night terrors. He said, I can't go on like this. He says, I've talked to my priest. My priest said, go and sin no more. He said, I've gone to counselor after counselor. He says, nothing has helped. Now, let me tell you the truth. When he's saying all this to me, I'm thinking, if he's been all those places, what am I going to do to help him? So I'm praying. God had me go to his bedside table and get out the Bible, and I opened the Bible, and I read to him 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all righteousness. And then I told him how the Lord removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, and though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And as I'm reading, I am praying, God, what do I say next? And then I looked at him and I said, you know, maybe you need to ask God to forgive you for not believing him. He says, that's it. And I thought, that is. So I said, well, would you like to pray about it? He's still white-knuckling my hand. He said, yes, but I don't know how. I said, sometimes when patients don't know how to pray, I'll pray and they'll pray after me. Would you like to do that? He says, yes, I would. So I start praying. My eyes are closed. I hear nothing. I pray again. I hear nothing. Then I open my eyes, and this is what I see. I went, whoa. I said, do you mind if I just pray for you a minute first, and then we'll pray together? God just gave me the words. I prayed that God would break the bondages that man had been under. I asked God to forgive him his sins. I asked God to come and fill his life. When I was finished with whatever God gave me to pray over him, his whole countenance had changed. And he said, something has happened. I've never felt this way before. He says, I can pray now. I says, let's pray. Let's pray. And do you know he was healed? There's more to the story, but it's all good. It's all good. Our God is a good God. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He would have every person in his kingdom. Forgiving doesn't mean that we have to ignore injustice or let someone treat us badly. We just need to forgive and let go of all those negative feelings. Don't let them eat away at your life. And you know what they actually say, that if you hang on to forgiveness and it's eating away at you, it's like smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. It's a killer. You get that? Unforgiveness is a killer. It's a killer to you now in your body, and it's killing you from eternal life. And I'm going to say again, is it really worth letting any jerk keep you out of heaven? No, it's not. That's bondage. And Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen? All right. Don't let the strongholds of the devil with that, or that we're not able to grow in Christ, and it causes us to doubt him, and then we're in a hopeless condition. So, Jesus loves us. This I know. He wants us to walk in faith. When we're having trouble forgiving someone, when Jesus puts us on our heart to do that, I know we have to work through it. But, you know, once we do it, the enemy wants to bring it up over and over again. He wants to keep bringing it to us. But when you forgive, I'd like to suggest to you that you sit down and you write a note. And you say, on this day, I forgave so-and-so. I put it under the blood of Jesus. I am done with this. And when the enemy comes back and tries to tempt you to pick that up again, you want, on this day I put it under the blood of Jesus, you go talk to him about it. Don't go back there. He wants to drag you back there. Even if it's your own lack of forgiving yourself, Stop it. You can't forgive yourself. Jesus forgives you. Don't carry that around. You may not have done everything right. None of us have. We've all got that mess in our lives. We wish we'd done things different, and our life might be different now, but we can't change it. You can't unring the bell. This is where we are. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. He's the perfect example of forgiveness. What happened on the cross? He didn't wait for them to come and say, oh, sorry, I think you are the Son of God, and I shouldn't have done this. No, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when the thief on the cross asked God for forgiveness, or he asked him if he would be, take me with you, Jesus, he recognized him. The Son of God didn't say, well, you know, the rule is that you got to go back and make things right first. He was on the cross. There's nothing he could do about it. And if someone that you've offended or hurt or you wish you hadn't and they're dead, there's nothing you can do about it except just ask, just in your heart and mind, go before Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you both. Or write a letter. Write a letter to that dead person and say, I'm sorry, I wish I'd never done that. Just get it out of you. And then you have a choice. You can put it away and say, on this day I did that. You can rip it up. You can burn it. Whatever you need to do. But this is all about Jesus. And we're not bigger than Jesus. You get that? We're not bigger than Jesus. God alone is the judge. He sees a man's heart. He doesn't just look at the appearance. He knows what's going on with him. We don't know why someone else is treating us the way they are. We don't know what brokenness they've gone through that is causing them to respond and react like they have or be offended with something we've said that we didn't mean to say to hurt them. We don't know. But we do know this. Jesus is our example. Jesus showed mercy. Jesus granted people another opportunity. Jesus gave us grace. And you know what? He says, be like me. He wants us to be holy even as he is holy. And we can't do it if we don't let him transform us. We can't do it if we don't do things his way. So I want to read that quote once again. Always pray to have eyes that see the best in people, a heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgets the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God. I have some handouts available for you as you leave today. The ushers will be out there to give you handouts. You can also pull them up on our website. They're all about forgiveness, and they're also some like assignments how to help you through it if this is what you're struggling with. But I'm just inviting you today, leave your baggage here. Don't pick up that garbage. When you go out that door, may there be a sweet fragrance of Jesus that goes with you, not a stench, not a stench. And if you need to take a minute to apologize to somebody here so you can leave it behind, I invite you to do it. If you need prayer, we'll be available for prayer up here. But I'm saying for those of you that are sweethearts, heal it. And let this Valentine's Day be a day of new beginnings for you. Father, we just thank you so much for your love. We thank you that every day with you is a day of fresh beginnings. And Father, I pray that this will be a day of new beginnings for those that have been struggling with forgiveness issues. And Father, whether it's forgiving others, whether it's going to someone else and letting them forgive us, whether it's forgiving you, Jesus, for being Lord of our life and not doing the way we wish you had, or whether, Father, whatever it is, free us today, I pray. May your blessing be over us, and may the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. When someone offends us, remind us that your way is to bless and pray for so that we don't carry that weight around and so the enemy doesn't keep us in bondage. We come today and thank you that when the sun sets us free, we are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you for this wonderful word that sets captives free. That's what Jesus does. If you're here today and you'd like special prayer, Derry will be here for a few moments. And I'd like to ask our elders that are here just to be available. If you would like prayer, they'll come on up. And Derry, if you'll come up and just be available for prayer.